So Dan, I want you to meet this woman here from Brazil. She told me that she's here for 1 week, and every Sunday she listens to us somehow connected through that great live stream that we have. And each Sunday night, 4 hours, is it 4 hours ahead? So about 9:30 at night, you're listening to St. Monica's. Welcome, Brazil! That's great. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. I think I must be more careful about what I say, because I'm not... So folks, I celebrated last Tuesday. You were so gracious to me last Sunday. I celebrated my 75th birthday. And thank you. And I had one wish. And that wish was a Dunkin' Donut. But I can't get into that store. There are lines and lines, and I go by at 5 o'clock every morning. And today, for the first time, Sunday morning, while the store was jammed, it was the first time that there was not a line 2 blocks long. But when I came back this afternoon, there they were again. So I'm hoping that somewhere along the way, I'll get a taste of that famous Dunkin' Donut. I don't know what it is, but it must be very powerful. Have any of you had one yet? Have any of you gone to that store? You've gone. Oh, good for you, Peggy. That's great. In New York, but nothing here. Okay. Well, there it is. So my friends, tonight we're talking about Ezekiel, the prophet. And Ezekiel, is a man who is considered a watchman. That's the descriptive that they use in that reading tonight. He is the one who watches for any kind of errancy, anything that goes wrong within his community. He doesn't want to do that because, as you know, it's difficult to say to people, you're doing something wrong. Straighten out. Do it better. So he resists Yahweh from being that sentinel, that watch person, but somehow, some way, God, or Yahweh wants him to be that person, that one who watches his community and tells them when they are off the beam a little bit. The reading from Paul this afternoon is somewhat the same. Paul suggests that we have to be watchful of people who are errant and not doing well in their lives. And we have to speak to them. But he says, do it only out of love. So if you're not feeling good about yourself, if there's something wrong inside you, if you're angry about something, if there is something that's missing in your life, you're probably not the best person to correct somebody else. I hate to say it, but I think it's the truth. Because so often, what we see is what's inside us, and somehow we project that in the lives and hearts of other people. And so we can become very critical. Critical because we're not very happy about who we are. So Paul suggests to us, if we live in an inner harmony, if we live in an inner peace, then we should be free to, as a matter of fact, we ought to, he says, share with people if they're not doing God's great work on this earth. But doing it always, always, out of love. And then the gospel. The gospel tonight is a very beautiful gospel about the person who doesn't have something that he does against a neighbor. Rather, it's something that is done to him. And that's a little different story. So it isn't so much even that we make a mistake and offend somebody or someone gets upset at us for something. That's one way in which God says to us we must do something in order to reconcile. We have to make up for that. But in the gospel today, it's the other way around. And that's the thing that we might miss. Something is done to him. So he's the offended party. And our God says, even then, you must go and try to reconcile with your brother or your sister. So here's a little story. It's a story from that tragic time in our nation and in our world where 95,000 Jewish and other women died in that terrible concentration camp in Ravensbrück. And this woman, Corrie Ten Boom, after her captivity and having experienced the horror of smelling flesh burning in those fires, having experienced the worst possible treatment by the guards of that camp, she was released finally, and in 1947, she was speaking in a church in Munich. And as she was speaking, she was thinking about and was reflecting on the horrendous experience that she had endured during that time in that camp. And while she finished speaking, she said in a book entitled, Welcome, Holy Spirit, she said while she was speaking, she looked out and a man was coming towards her with his hand outstretched. And she recognized that he was one of the cruelest of all of the people that tortured them. And her in that camp. And with his hand outstretched, he said, I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me of all of the cruel things that I have done. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, will you forgive me? She said that that conflict that she had gone through began to rage again inside her. She thought about the bitterness and the coldness and the struggle of those years. Somehow it almost impelled her to just walk away from that moment and from that experience. But she said, Jesus, help me. And then she knew what she had to do. I can lift my hand, she thought to herself. I can do that much. And as her hands met his, somehow a warmth and a healing broke forth with tears and joy. I can do that much, she said. I forgive you, my brother. I forgive you with my whole heart. Later, Corrie testified that it was the power of that great Holy Spirit who poured the love of God into her heart that day. She said, I don't know any other way true forgiveness can really ever take place. We turn our hurt over to God and we ask God for the ability to forgive. I don't know if you've ever experienced that in your life. I had a religious woman that I worked with in San Pedro a lot of years ago. And somehow I offended her. I did a lot of offending in my life, and somehow I had hurt her. And so she began to try to denigrate me. She talked about me all over the place. And I heard about it. And I'd left the community, and I was now working in the Office of Religious Education, and I went to confession on a retreat that I was on. John McAnulty was my spiritual director at the time. He's a wonderful man and just a gracious fella. I said, John, you know, this woman is talking about me, and I don't know what to do about it. I'm hurt by it. And he turned to me and he said, Lloyd, you probably are not able to seek her forgiveness and to reconcile with her just yet. So I'm not going to ask that of you. What I'm going to ask you to do is to desire someday to have the desire to do it. You may not be able to do it now. You can't do it now. But just ask in this confession for the desire someday to want to be able to reconcile. So I did. So I left that retreat that morning, and on the way back, I had to go to a meeting for the Archdiocese, and I was in the meeting, I gave a little talk, and I looked into the room, and guess what? She was there. So I knew that maybe this was the time. So once my little talk was over, I went over to get a cup of coffee. And before I could go to her, she came to me. She did. She stuck out her hand and said, Lloyd, glad to see you. Now, it wasn't a forgiveness or I'm sorry, just that. And I said back to her, and I am so glad to see you. And I gave her a hug. So I think sometimes in our life, you know, all of us make judgments. We do that. That's just the human heart. I would hope that our judgments are more out of our strength and our peaceful side, not on, you know, the side that makes us sometimes jealous of other people or angry about things or not feeling good about myself. Because sometimes I think when we do that, our judgments are not very good. But secondly, I would just hope that somehow, even when you're the offended person, if we could just ask for the desire someday, whenever that possibility happens, and there will be a time that we'll have the desire to want to do that. That's about all I got today, folks. I just wanted to share that little thought with you. I think that the last line of that gospel is probably the most powerful of all. Our Lord said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. So I think that for most of us, you know, we feel that we can kind of do it alone. We can do it by ourselves. We have so much gifts and talents and abilities, and our culture even almost demands that of us. But I don't think that's the right approach to life. I think somehow, for me at least, at this year of my life, that's the thing that I really seriously wish for more than even a Dunkin' Donut. I would just hope that instead of a singular life, instead of trying to do all the things that I think I should do, that I see that we can't do it. We can't do it alone. That we need each other. And somehow there's a force in that. There's a power in that. There's the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I offer that to you on this day.